Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 32 of the Touchline Podcast. I'm Rich. I'm back from my loan spell down in Lake Powell. And I got Brett here. What's up, dude?
Hello.
Jared said he'd be joining us shortly, but we thought we'd go ahead and get started, and he'll come in as maybe a halftime substitution or something in a little bit.
No, the 80th minute.
It'll be a time-wasting sub, perhaps. But, yeah, I had a good time down south with the fam, and you guys listened to the pod. You guys did a good job while I was out improving my skills on loan.
Yeah, I bet you were working it down there, weren't you?
Trying not to freeze in the water is what I was trying to do. So, even though the air temperature is nice down there, the water is still like 60 degrees. So, but yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about the Colorado game, talk about Houston coming up, got some other fun topics that we want to talk about regarding the team and supporters and whatnot. So, let's just dive right in. You know, the Colorado game ended 1-0. You know, listening to Jeff Kassar after the game, you know, he said that he thought a draw probably would have been a fair result. It's kind of how I felt as I, you know, listened and watched the game. I listened to part of it on the way home and then watched also once I got home. But seemed like at the beginning, and I don't know why, every single game it seems like it's this way. Is we either start off slow and the team, I mean, Vancouver was this way. I think Houston was this way when we played them the first time. Colorado was this way, but they just lob balls over the top over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That is.
I think that's like our one weakness is I think they're realizing that we don't have really that height there on the back line anymore. I mean, we don't have Schuler, who is like a huge guy back there. And I'm wondering if they don't think we have the speed to outrun their guys to chase down that ball.
You know, Dunny was talking about, you know, how RSL this season is playing such a high line, trying to compress it. And we saw when we played Kansas City, what was that, the second, third game of the season? We had that high line. We caught Dom Dwyer offside a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. But seems like since then, I don't know if teams are catching on to that high line or whatever, but you know, they just keep pumping balls over the top of us and, you know, we aren't getting them caught offside. They're just, you know, running on to it. So,
you know what? I know early in the year we used to catch a lot of teams offside. I wonder if they're thinking we're playing more of an offside trap than we really are.
Or I almost wonder if the teams have gotten a little wise to you know, our tactics that way. They know we're playing a high line and an offside trap because we haven't caught people offside hardly at all in the last few games.
Yeah, but early in the season we were catching a bunch of guys.
Right, so it's almost like now they figured it out, so do we gotta, you know, vary our tactics a little bit?
Probably. I mean, they should be adjusting game by game, honestly.
But what's weird is that it seems like as the game goes on, the opposition does it less. Like,
yeah.
You know, Colorado didn't do it very much as the game went on, and Vancouver certainly backed way off. And I don't know if it's just because the forwards get tired making all those runs, or I don't know.
I think it's more or less the game finally sets up and starts dictating how it's going to be played. And then that way you got to – they'll see that RSL more or less wants to play that possession style, keep it on the ground, quick passes and through balls and stuff like that. And so they kind of just start countering it because they can't go up and over anymore. They're committing too many guys to trying to clog those passing lanes.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely could be. You know, I don't know. I wonder if we change our strategy a little bit or I don't know. But it just seems weird that at the beginning of most all of our games recently that's been what the other team has done to us. And we've been lucky we haven't conceded more because there have been a lot of sketchy defending.
Yeah.
You know, something else I was wondering about, Brett. Do you remember the beginning of the season, first couple of games, that we were doing a similar thing with Jura, and we'd dump the ball over the top, and he'd end up with it in the corner all the time?
Yeah.
I can't think of a single time in the last couple of games where we've done that. And so I was wondering, and maybe we'll have to ask Dunny or Trey, but, you know, is that by intent because up with it on the sideline and then he wouldn't have anywhere to go with it because there was no one in the middle because he was the guy who was supposed to be in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
But I it's kind of like shrunk our outlet options because the first few games, like, I mean, he was a great way for the, you know, Beckerman or winger or Tony to just kind of dump it over the top of the defense and he would just go chase it down into the corner.
Yeah. If I remember right, a lot of those times when he had it down in that corner, he would try to cross it and he would have guys in the box, but a lot of those times those guys would not be able to get on the end of those. And naturally what should be the guy sitting on the back door would clean that up. Yura's the guy that should be cleaning that up. Like, that's his role. And I think they're realizing that they don't have a guy that can clean it up like that. And so maybe that's why they kind of moved away from it. I mean, I agree. It's something we should keep doing.
I mean, that was kind of what, you know, Colorado and Vancouver were doing. Maybe not to the extent of going right down the sideline and into the corner. But it's almost like if we do that, and if we have the other forwards or midfielders kind of commit to help with the attack, it's like once Jura gets it, he can cut it back upfield and back towards the middle to, say, Burrito or Plata or one of the other guys that are kind of supporting him, and then he can beeline into the center again.
Yeah. I wonder how much of it also has to do with the fact that Plata's not there, because they kind of went away from that about the time Plata's injury showed up.
Yeah, that could be.
It could just be a tactical adjustment. And as soon as Plata's back playing healthy 100%, we might go back to doing that a little bit more.
Yeah, and we'll see as when we play Houston here this week, because I would assume that Plata would be back to 100% for that game.
Yeah. I mean, we saw reports of him training, and so I was honestly thinking he would start in Colorado. Just the way they were talking about how he was training and participating in all practices the entire time, no limitations. And so yeah. I was kind of shocked to see him not even starting.
Has seemed like with a lot of these injuries, especially the ones that are multi-week, that Kassar has tended to just bring him off the bench the first game just in case, you know?
Yeah.
Which is probably wise.
Yeah, it is. And it's nice. I mean, I hate it, but it's kind of nice knowing at halftime when you're in a 0-0 draw or down a goal that you got a guy like Javier sitting on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy how awesome we seem to play. I mean, we didn't score against Colorado. I felt like there was a goal like had to come, and we had a bunch of chances. But once we get Burrito, Plata, Javier, those four, they're all in. Like every game those four have played, it's just been so fun. And it's crazy how much taking one of them out affects us. I mean, Jordan Allen's played fine, okay, but it's like night and day once, say, Plata comes in.
So you weren't here last week, but I'll ask you the same thing that me and Jared kind of discussed. Jordan Allen's kind of pushing for that role of needing starter. He needs to be a starter in a sense, but who do you take out? Like, he's shown you enough that he should be starting, but who do you honestly take out to give him that starting role?
I mean, if you want to improve his attacking acumen, there's no position for him.
Yeah.
He has to come off the bench. If you want him just on the field, then I think it wouldn't be that difficult for him to go back to playing fullback. But I actually don't know if I like him there. I don't know that he's better than the guys we have, because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't practice it that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think if he played it all the time and like was did that in training, then sure, he would be better, but he doesn't.
Like, he's great as, like, an emergency. Like, if we need in a pinch, like, our two fullbacks are injured and the guy coming off the bench does something, or he's like that nice emergency relief, but he doesn't need to be playing defense.
Right, or like, if we go to, like, three in the back or something, he can go back and be the third guy, or you get a red card or something, right? He can go,
yeah.
He can go fill in. You know, I think you guys talked about it a little bit last week, but what might be interesting to see is when Copa America starts, if Kyle's makes the final roster and he's gone, to see if Sonny, Jordan, and Javi can play in the middle. I don't know that Kassar will do it. He'll probably go with Luke, but yeah. I think that would be interesting to see how that would work.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea of those three compared to Luke, but that's only because I think Luke and Jordan Allen are on that same level, like, skill-wise at this point in their careers. But I think you're going to see more progress and growth out of Jordan, so you'd rather play him in that position and get him the minute.
The thing that you get with Luke is Luke runs a lot, and he's definitely honest in his defensive effort.
Yeah.
And he runs and chases balls, and I mean, sometimes it's not always effective running, but I mean, he'll run all the time, kind of like Johnny Steele was a few years ago, where they just run and it was good, good effort. Jordan sometimes seems to kind of come and go. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know every year I usually try to find a player that, like, young players should watch to kind of learn from. And a couple of years ago, Luke was that guy. I mean, now he's not that guy. I think you need to more or less watch Sonny, but that's my thoughts. Is that one time he was based off of the fact that he, like you said, he's honest in his defense and he just runs and he doesn't quit. That's something that young players need to watch.
Right. I mean, he does, make mistakes and sometimes makes bad decisions or different things, but, a lot of players do, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then kind of working against Luke is, Jordan's a lot younger than him, so theoretically, Jordan would get better by playing. So, his potential curve is higher than Luke's.
Well, and then here's something else. So we've seen it in, like, Seattle and a few other places, but Seattle's the big one that can come to mind that we've all heard of recently. Is Jordan the type of player that, after giving him like a year or two with proper minutes and everything, Europe starts calling?
I mean, there's always that potential there. Certainly. I don't know if he has that desire. And he'd have to really start tearing it up because he just doesn't have the hype of some of the other guys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like a Yedlin or.
Right.
Probably what now is Jordan Morris?
Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious, that guy's hype train. It's just been crazy.
Well, and the sad thing is he's living up to it.
Well, yeah, now he scored, what, 4-4? Four goals in four games, I think?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we need from Jordan Allen. And, something that I almost want to, get him on the pod or something and ask him is, how can he be more assertive in the games and demand the ball and, earn the trust of his teammates? Because, when he has filled in for Javi or on the wings or whatever, he just kind of comes in and out of games and you almost forget he's there for a while. And then, mm-hmm. Or he'll show for the ball and his teammates won't give it to him. And so, how do you become more consistent? How do you gain their trust that way?
Yeah. And I think, for me, I think my biggest worry for him is we know his potential is there, but I'm wondering if he's going to be treated similar to Gill. Because I don't know how he's doing in Mexico, but last I heard, he was doing pretty well. I mean, I'm going to look at it right now.
I mean, that's an interesting comparison because I definitely think Gill had more hype surrounding him, especially with, like, the mm-hmm. national team and everything, than Jordan has had, even though I think Jordan's potential, I think, might be better than Gill's. But that is an interesting comparison because I see a lot of similarities with the two of them where, you know, because of the position they play and the people that we have in front of them, it's hard for them to get consistent minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That specific person, namely being Javi, generally.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of that, and because the team is so used to Javi, when they do come get time, it's just they aren't able to use their skills because the team isn't used to them, you know? I think Gil is doing a lot of sub appearances. Is he still playing a lot? Do you know?
It shows that he's only played in 6 games. So, from sounds of it, yeah, a lot of subs.
Now, how many have they played?
That I do not know. More than 6, I'm assuming. Oh, sorry, 7 appearances. And in their current season, they've been playing since January.
Hard to know if he's hurt or you know what.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Not a whole lot of info.
Well, it says on here he's got 9 matches.
Well, then Wikipedia lied to me.
Let's see, he hasn't played since March, though, is what it says.
Maybe the hype wasn't there. I mean, I hope the hype was there and it was true and we just whiffed, you know, for United States soccer's sake.
Right.
But.
Yeah, he's started 5 and subbed in 4, so that's good.
That's more than he probably got his last year.
Let's see. The last year with RSL, he had 16 starts and 8 subs.
He might break that this year.
He might.
Good on him. Yeah, I'm just worried that Jordan Allen's going to we'll get all hyped up and everything, and then it won't live up to the potential.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case.
Part of me is wondering, like, I know we don't like him playing defense, but I'm wondering if they're trying to more or less, they're letting him play around because he is that Swiss Army knife. But I'm wondering if they have ideas about making him Beckerman's, you know, successor.
See, I just don't think that his skill set matches the, you know, holding midfielder. It just doesn't seem like that's his deal either. At all.
But, like, during the Colorado game, before he was subbed out, and in games before that when we went to more of attacking style, they've kind of used him back in the midfield a lot more. That's why I'm wondering if, and like, not midfield, like, back there creating chances, like, midfield, all of a sudden they're on a counter attacking him and Kyle's the first one's taken off.
Right.
And that might just have something to do with his youth and his speed, but.
I don't know. And it's almost like both him and Gil, I think, you know, when Gil was first with us, Gil would have so benefited from the Monarchs, right?
Of course.
And I know Allen, I mean, he gets starts and sub appearances with RSL, but it's like, I almost feel like we should just go let him play with the Monarchs all the time and put him in the position that, you know, we want him to learn and just let him play there every single game. But I don't know.
It's probably a lot tougher to make that call knowing that we have like Copa America coming up where we'll probably lose Kyle, and we have Open Cup coming. And we were probably thinking that we'd have more CONCACAF than we really did. So that's probably why he's not in a situation like that.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows? I mean, with injuries or different things, maybe he'll get to play a lot more games than we think. Because, I mean, he is essentially, you know, one of the first guys off the bench. You know, or if somebody's out, he's one of the first guys maybe that you bring in. So, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about anyway.
Yeah. And then speaking of injuries and Monarchs, did you see who made an appearance at the Monarchs?
No.
Really?
Who?
Oh, Chris Schuler.
Oh, yeah, I know. I saw that.
Yeah, that everybody was loving the fact that he was back.
Yeah, I think he only played half the game, right?
I believe so.
I think he only played half. But that's still awesome that, I mean, it's been forever. And I don't know, I hope his feet hold up.
Yeah, he deserves something, man. I mean, that's a guy who, he played a bunch, and he put his body on the line a lot in those games, and just, you hope that he's able to make it back to the MLS.
Yeah, and I mean, they've interviewed the RSL trainer a couple times, and, you know, talked about Schuler, and sounds like Shula's a lot like Stu Holden, where, you know, he just keeps getting injured, but he's always just so positive about it. And like, you know, okay, what do we need to do? How can we rehab this? Let's, you know, just, you know, get back on the horse, as they say. And so, I mean, that's really cool that, you know, he has that, you know, such a positive attitude about it.
But, you know, in typical Chris Shula fashion, he did commit fouls in his only half game of soccer. So at least we know he's back.
That's right.
But, you know, moving forward, if we run into issues with injuries and Copa America and all that, it's going to be nice to be able to use a guy like Schuler that has that MLS experience as your, what do they call it, emergency relief or whatever.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I guess it will be interesting to see, you know, if Schuler still, you know, keeps coming back, if we, you know, sign him to a MLS contract or not.
Yeah. I think probably because of how loyal we've been towards him, that's probably why he went with the Monarchs. And knowing that the team would take care of him in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because I can't imagine that all the other MLS teams didn't choose to, one of them didn't choose to offer him a contract.
Yeah, and, you know, he has said that was a little surprising for him, too, that, you know, nobody really approached him about it, you know, because they're all concerned.
This was like a guy, what, 2 years ago? Everybody wanted him to start for the national team because they thought he was the future of the center back position.
Yeah, but it's just because he keeps getting hurt, you know, nobody wanted to take a chance, right?
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully he's able to make it back.
For sure. I guess on the same lines of, you know, I'll make a stretch here and talk about team unity a little bit. They posted an article, and I don't know if anyone listening is on Instagram and saw Wingert's Instagram post where the team went down to the, on the Provo River and went fishing. And so, you know, got me thinking as like a team building activity, right? I think it was last Wednesday, maybe. And, you know, they had the whole team out there. So instead of practice, they all went down and went fishing. And you know, Beckerman said that, you know, everyone caught fish and some guys caught a lot of fish. But got me thinking, Brett, what would you like to see either as a good idea or maybe not such a good idea of team building activities that RSL could do to, you know, help camaraderie.
Bubble soccer.
Bubble soccer. Oh my gosh, that would be so awesome.
Throw them inside those giant bubble suits and just let them go out there and beat on each other.
Oh my goodness. Olave would kill somebody.
Because, you know, yeah, you know, during fights, I mean, during games and practices and stuff, these guys are like, they're half speeding. It's like football. Like, don't hit the guy with the red jersey. You know, they have those kind of rules going on.
Right.
So put them in the bubble suits, let them thrash on each other. I mean, Olave and Uro will probably end up trying to kill each other, but it'll be all great for the name of Team Unity.
Oh man, that actually sounds amazing. I hadn't even thought about that. That's awesome. I want to play bubble soccer. My nephew, he went to prom, and that's what they did for their activity at prom, was they had, I don't know, like 20 people or something, and they got the bubble balls and played soccer. And I'm like, oh man, that'd be so fun.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Beckerman was probably the one that suggested it.
Actually, they said that Kassar went and talked to Beckerman. Like, Kassar had this idea, I guess, and asked Beckerman if he could kind of get it arranged. And then Beckerman, you know, did the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I just know Beckerman's in love with fishing and all that, so.
Yeah.
See, other than that,
I thought it would be fun if they went and did go-kart racing. I thought that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Something we did in high school was the coach for team building activities would take us to like random places throughout the town, like cemeteries and stuff like that, and put out hula hoops. And then we'd have our soccer, and we'd be playing golf, and the hula hoop was the hole you were trying to put it in. And it was fun because you were in pairs playing against each other.
Hmm. That'd be fun. Yeah, I've been kind of going back and forth whether I think paintball would be a good idea or not. Kind of leaning towards maybe not.
Probably not. Knowing the temper of seeing some of those guys, it'd be bad.
Yeah, we don't want them getting hurt. They got big old welts from. If you had to pick one guy on the team who would juice their paintball gun to make it illegal, who do you think that would be? You think it'd be Ura?
Ura? I don't know why. Like, even before he left, and even now, even worse when he's back, I just sit there and look at the dude, and you're waiting for the day that he just starts thrashing on a defender. Like, he's out there being physical with him because that's, like, his job and that's the role he's taken on. But he's just got that look to him that's like, whatever, I'll just beat down this guy. Like, I think it was the CONCACAF game. I honestly thought he was going to murder a ref that game. Just the way he was looking at refs and stuff.
Yeah, I could see Yura turning his paintball gun up to 11.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. I could see Antonella doing it to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's real competitive and into sports and stuff. I could see, Kyle just scissoring a dude after getting shot, but scything him down.
Yeah. I think it's cool that they're doing that stuff already because, I mean, if you follow, like, Plata and Burrito, and those two are the big ones that come to mind. I'm looking up. I'm trying to find a picture right now.
Yeah, those two guys, as always, those two, Javi, Olmez, and
they'll just randomly post pictures of themselves, like, hey, here we are, like, all together at the zoo or something.
Right.
I mean, here's one of them all at the airport, and it's Olmez, Javi, Burrito, Sunny, Olave, and Plata all just hanging out, messing around.
Yeah, I think it's super cool.
And not only that, I mean, you can kind of tell that they have that team spirit going on because look at them when they score a goal. It's like seriously a team celebration.
Yeah, for sure. They got the choreographed dances and whatnot.
Or even when they like tried to sail down some river in the middle of the riot.
Right. Get the canoe going.
Yeah. That one was That's probably my funny. Favorite.
That is funny. Huh.
But good on them.
Yeah, well, hopefully, like I say, they keep doing it. They probably won't be able to do one for a little while because they're on this, you know, 5-game road trip. But, well, 4 games now. But, you know, maybe they can do it while they're out on the road.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff in Houston, I think. I've never been there, but.
Well, Houston has some cool stuff. I've been there a few times. You got the Space Center. You can go down to Galveston. It's all right.
I think I've been there.
I'm trying to think what else I've done when I've been there. It's always been for work, so I don't know. I don't get out and about too much.
Leave it to work, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully they keep posting pictures to, you know, so we can live vicariously through them. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the life, man.
So, like you said last pod with the Tim Howard versus Nick Raimondo airplane pitcher.
Speaking of Howard, I mean, he'll be here in July, but that goalie played like he was wanting that job come July. And obviously he's not going to start over Howard, but there's probably a lot of teams right now that are probably calling Colorado wondering about how to get him come July.
Well, it's so funny because he was, you know, like an up-and-comer young goalie, and he's got traded a couple times, I think, now. And I don't know. I mean, he's a pretty good shot stopper, but a lot of his other decision-making and distribution and stuff is a little sketchy, so I don't know. But, yeah, he had some good saves. That one that Kyle had, you know, that he saved, got a big save Raimondo from Bill Riley, or big save McMath from Bill Riley, but he kicked it right at him. So I don't know if that's a big save or not. I don't know. That always makes me laugh when they're like, you know, the goalkeeper did a great job saving that shot and they got kicked right at him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they had to almost get out of the way if they wanted to not save it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if McMath is okay being a backup once Timmy gets here.
If not, what? He's got to sit there for till November, roughly.
Yeah.
October, November till the playoffs start. And then next year, he's probably what? Playing in Atlanta or LA?
Maybe, but like
you're not going to protect two goalies and come the expansion draft time.
No. I mean, it'll depend on what his salary is. And I mean, I can't think of a team now. Well, I don't know, maybe New York, NYCFC. Saunders is meh.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't know if that's an upgrade going from Saunders to McMath.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I can't think of very many teams that need a goalie. So, I don't know. Would you rather have him or Antonella?
Jeff.
I'd rather have Jeff.
And I think that's only because I've seen a lot more out of Jeff. I know what I'm getting with him.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Jeff could easily be a starting goalkeeper.
Oh, I know he could be.
And it's like, you know, if you had to, and I know his salary's got to be way less than McMath's.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we should, but if we ever need a salary dump, I'm okay with Jeff being a starter going forward. Like, if that's something they have to do to dump salary, I'm okay with it.
You mean like
from a business standpoint, like dropping Raimondo?
Oh man!
Like from would you do it? No. But from like a business side point, I'd be okay with it because Jeff's probably getting underpaid. I mean, he's
Oh,
probably
yeah.
getting backup
Yeah.
money, but he's probably getting a little
I
underpaid.
think we lose a ton in distribution ability by going to almost any other keeper. But yeah, I mean, I think from a shot stopping and organization ability, I mean, Jeff, I think would do fine. Obviously, not Nick. I mean, Nick Raimondo's, best goalkeeper ever in MLS history, but Jeff probably should be starting somewhere. So, but he'll likely get the chance here.
Yeah, because we'll probably see. Raimondo will probably make the roster.
Yeah, who else did they bring in? They brought in Yarbrough? No. Who's the young guy? Didn't they bring in a young dude?
Me check it out. Of course, it doesn't sort it by position. Got David Bingham from San Jose.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You
Yeah,
got
Brett Guzan, Brad Guzan, Tim
Timmy.
Howard, Ethan Horvath, who plays at Mold. Is that how you say it? Mold, Moldy, Mold.
Yeah.
Don't know. Do you think they would keep? Do you think they take three keepers, or just two? And
I know.
they typically do three, but
Yeah. My guess is you'll probably get Howard and Guzan for sure. If they keep a third, it'll be Raimondo. And I actually think you're required to keep three on your roster.
almost
Because.
think that out of Tim, Brad, and Nick, that you would only take two of those, and then you would either take Bingham or Ethan as like to bring to give them experience, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Raimondo doesn't need the experience, and if he's just going to sit there.
Yeah, no. I just looked it up. They're required to carry three, so. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we know who's going to be there. It's more or less filling out who's going to be that third guy.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Brad or Tim actually got left off. I don't think that they would, but Klinsmann does weird stuff, so like if that's what happened, I wouldn't think that was the craziest thing ever.
Yeah, I'm wondering. My guess is probably Tim's going to be there, only because he's probably going to want those touches and in-game experience, I guess is lack of a better word. So when he, because this starts in June, he
Right.
had and then he'll turn around as soon as this tournament ends and be playing for Colorado.
Right.
And so kind of probably wants to use it to be in fit for Colorado.
Right. Could be. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We'll see what Klinsmann wants to do, I guess. He'll likely start some a striker as a center back, and he'll
Harry
play Nick.
Kitchen will be your starting forward.
And they'll play Nick Raimondo as the number 10.
Yeah, and we'll also get like Mix. We'll probably go 90 minutes.
Hope not. I hope Nick doesn't make the roster.
I don't understand how that dude keeps making the national team roster, but he can't even start in his own team.
He's an okay MLS player, but he's certainly not with all he does he shouldn't have all the hype, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not hit that level yet, but there for a while, he was hitting that Freddy Adu level. Where it was like, he's the next great American player.
Yeah.
And that's very annoying.
I love that the Team Perry Kitchen is on right now as Heart of Midlothian. That's
Yeah.
such a cool name.
I have no clue where that is, but I am buying a jersey.
It's in Scotland, I think.
Even better.
Yeah. I'm 99% sure.
More commonly known as the Hearts.
Yeah. But that's just such a cool name.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you want to talk about? Should we wrap it up?
I'm good. I think
I don't. I guess we'll Jared decided. I guess Jared decided not to come on as an injury sub. So.
Well, I can go 90 minutes, and you can go 90 minutes. So what do we need?
I can run all day, man.
He's that sub that we thought was going to hit the game, and then at the end of the game, you're like, oh, we have that third sub still sitting there.
They pull him back. The guy's got the jersey standing by the fourth official, and gets pulled back.
Yeah, and then you're like, just sit down, just sit down.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast today. Like I said, we play Houston this weekend. We didn't really talk about them, but we just played them, so, you know. Should be good there, but we'll play them on Saturday night, and hopefully we get a win. We really need one, you know, to kick off this road trip since we lost against Colorado. Yeah, if you want to hit us up, I'm on Twitter, @Frisbee_Rich.
I'm at BAustin435 or at @Touchline_TBS.
How come you changed your Twitter handle, dude?
I'm hiding from people.
Oh, okay. Just kidding. He didn't. No one knows that he used to have a different handle. It's always been.
You ever seen The Replacements?
Yes.
I'm that guy that was supposed to be in jail, and they got him out, and then they just call him some random name on the field.
You're in witness protection program now.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Let us know if you have any comments or questions. But otherwise, we'll see you next time. Peace out.
Later.